Jen.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me, Coffee and Conversations with Rachel.
Of course.
So what is your favorite coffee?
My favorite coffee right now, I actually make a gingerbread latte.
Oh, that sounds
really delicious.
Good. I like coffee.
Yes.
Is that like your seasonal drink or is this a new thing?
No, something I found on TikTok and decided to try and changed it up a little bit myself. And so that's my fixation right now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it sounds delicious.
Yes, yes.
Does Jesse drink coffee?
No.
No.
No, he's not a coffee drinker.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
And Paul loves coffee.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
But he just likes black coffee, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So. So thanks for joining us for our neurodivergent series and just giving us a parent's perspective on all of that. So you have a neurodivergent kid, and I would just love to know how you kind of signs that were pointing to that and the struggles, just all that kind of comes along with that.
Yeah. So our oldest is what you would consider to be neurodivergent. His official diagnoses are sensory processing disorder, ADHD, and high functioning anxiety. Okay. So he's kind of got a package deal with him. And a lot of kids that are neurodivergent have more than one things that they struggle with. So his was actually pretty early, probably about two. He, as a kid, just hit milestones later, which is completely normal.
Yeah.
But as a parent, it's definitely worrisome and it's the first kid. And so you're wondering like, what's going to happen? But once he picked up things, he would just take off with them. So like he was a late walker, but once he decided he wanted to walk, he ran everywhere. He was a late talker at two. He said what he needed to, but it was bare minimum. And then once he figured out the words that he wanted to use and the vocabulary built, he just took off from there.
Okay.
So his huge things that he really struggled with early on was loud noises and new environments. And what I noticed, so I taught for 6 years before having kids.
Sure, that helped a lot.
It did. It set me up greatly. And I actually had a principal that took me aside because I was really struggling with a student, trying to connect with them and trying to figure out, like, what do I do to help this kid? Because they're struggling in class and nothing seems to be working. And she, Shayna Perry, she is phenomenal. But she told me, look at the whole child. Look at their environment. Where do they come from? Mm-hmm. All the things that come with this kid that makes them a kid. It's not just they're struggling in your class. Like, look at the whole child.
Yeah.
And that truly changed my perspective with students. And then having my own child of looking around and going, okay, so what is it that is making this reaction? Because whatever it is, if they're screaming, they're yelling, they're throwing a fit, a tantrum, it's communication.
Mm-hmm.
From early on, it's communication from day they're born, crying, I need something done. And some kids just communicate differently. And that's kind of something that we noticed with Cooper. His communication was different. It physically hurt him to have loud noises. And he would just cover his ears and cry and just go into fetal position. And so it was one of those, like, as a parent, you just want to be like, it's a loud noise. Like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, it's done. It's over. Let's move on. But for him, it was actually seeming to hurt him. And so it was kind of weird instances like that, that you were just looking around going, okay, this isn't what other kids are experiencing around his age. And, you know, that comparison starts to build up as a parent and you're looking, you're going like, why is my kid doing this? Why is my kid not doing this?
I feel like with your first one, it's even harder too.
Yes. Yes. So kind of getting in mom's groups and we actually did mom to mom here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the parents was like, hey, have you thought about sensory processing? And I was like, no, I knew what it was. I dealt with it as a teacher, but when you're in the trenches with your kids, you don't think about it. You just know what you're struggling with on a day-to-day basis. And so getting him to church was horrendous. Like, it was a fight every time because we were going somewhere different, somewhere he wasn't comfortable in. And that's what it kind of came down to, was his comfort level. Even now as a fifth grader, it's his comfort level with his environment and his surroundings. Mm-hmm. So anything that we could do to set him up for success, that's what we did. So for us, it was trial and error. Like, let's try this. Let's see what he doesn't like. Grocery stores were hard. There's lots of noises, a lot of different noises, and it's unexpected. So that is still, to this day, that is his. He wants to know what's expected there, and you can't control the environment. Like, nowhere can you control an environment.
Yeah.
So early on, we noticed those things were kind of building up. And about 4 and a half, we actually sought out counseling for him because I was like, we need something to help him with his tools to cope. And then I know what it looks like as an older kid, but I don't know as a younger kid, like I don't know how to help him process all of this. So he has been in counseling since he was 4 and a half. We've done play therapies. We've done just regular counseling, and that's kind of where he is now. But that's where we started and finding all of those different quirks and different things mm-hmm. that make him who he is as a whole child was kind of where we started. So
I feel like everyone can benefit from counseling. And
yeah, absolutely.
I just feel like when it's so nice when people can point stuff out to you.
Yes.
In like a kind way, because that's kind of what happened with Kaysen too. He has PANDAS and some anxiety and stuff. Uh-huh. And it was actually a teacher that pointed out something about him. And I was like, when you're in the trenches, you're just like, I don't know. It was our first kid too. And I was like, he has anger issues. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to help him, but like, it's who he is. And
yeah.
But then when you have people that, and you're like, oh, maybe there is something going on and I can get some help somewhere. But
and that's what ours, like once we kind of started thinking about like, oh, this or this. And I mean, Jesse's a teacher too. So we see a lot of different things. It was like, why didn't we catch it sooner? But it is one of those, like once we figured that out, it was all hands on deck. Like everybody's jumping in. What can we do to help? And even here at church, we modified things so that he could be successful. We had videos of, you know, different things that would happen at a church. So we would start previewing videos or YouTube videos, anything that we could find to let him see what could happen on a day-to-day routine.
Yeah.
And that helps him even now. So a couple of years ago, we went to our first Major League Baseball game, something I really never thought we were going to be able to do because he was worried about that environment. It's new, it's different. So we started prepping. We knew we were going. We started prepping 9 months before we went. So we started watching YouTube videos. We started looking at or driving around stadiums. And it's interesting because he's grown up as a coach's kid. But we haven't done baseball. We did football, so he's known football, but baseball's different. And it has different crowds and different reactions and different things. So he was comfortable in football. He is not comfortable in baseball. So it's hard because you're thinking it should be the same. Like it's, to me, that's the same. I don't see any difference.
Yeah.
But for him it was. It was crowds, fireworks, and sometimes they do like horns or different things. Uh-huh. So we were going to a Rockies game. So we started looking at videos. Jesse started pulling up videos of it, just watching it over and over. And we were like, oh, look, that's a sound here. This is what's going on here. Let's look at this and this and this. And then he kind of got to the point where he was willing to try Round Rock Express. So we went to Round Rock Express. So Jesse took him and they made it 10 minutes and fireworks went off and he was like, nope, done. We're out. I am not doing that ever again. Like that was horrible. I hated it. Get me out of here. But, you know, watching it again and we were like, okay, now we know if they hit a home run, a firework's going to go off. So now you can prepare for that. So giving him the opportunities to fail, but also grow through that failure is huge for him. I don't ever want him to not do something because he feels it or he experiences it differently than other kids. We want to give him the tools so that he can be successful in a day-to-day life. We want to give him the tools so that he knows how to cope with different things. So, I mean, the growth that he has done really in these last 3 to 4 years is astronomical. We went to Colorado a year ago. And he was ziplining. He was doing all the things that a typical kid would do. He was on mountain coasters and he's doing all these different things. But because he knew he could watch videos and prep himself for it, he just asked us. So that time he knew, hey, can you show me what a mountain coaster looks like? What is this going to do? So we showed him and he was like, ah, I got this. Let's do it.
That's amazing.
He went with Jesse first. And then he was like, I don't need you anymore. I got this. And so he would go by himself. And we have always experienced people cheering him on. So no matter where we are, school environment, there's, he's got his one really good friend, his one best friend, but the teachers and the community have always cheered him on and seen like, you're really good at this. Like, let's cheer you on and build your confidence that way.
Yeah.
So as his confidence has grown and his self-worth has grown, he's changed to a completely different kid. Not the kid that we started church where he would cry for 5 seconds of being dropped off. Like, we would drop him off and 5 seconds later, we're getting a call of he's losing it. We can't.
Yeah.
He can't calm down. Like, he's upset. He's sick. He's to a kid that is like, when is Sunday? When do I see Mr. Adam? Like, when do I see Mr. Kyle? And he has his people. And I think that's been our biggest help is our community. Pulling them in, our pods, family pods, and just him growing has helped him with, I know it started from counseling because they started all those basic things of, if you feel scared, what do? If you feel that anxiety coming over you and explaining what is anxiety? What does it do to your body? Because he knew what he was feeling, but he didn't know why he was feeling it or what he was doing. And he is very much a logical kid.
Okay, I have one like that.
And he wants to know, well, why is my stomach upset? Why is this doing this? And so, I mean, fully breaking it down for him of your brain fires it this way in your brain. This is the way you're experiencing it. It's not the way this person is, and it's not the way this person, but that's the way God made your brain. And your brain is special for you. And not focusing solely on what he struggles with, but also celebrating the good things he's at. He's a phenomenal artist. He just today, he was like, oh, I'm going to draw something for Mr. Adam. And he like sketched it out in 5 minutes. And we're like, where did that even come from? Aww. So he's creative. Like there's just because his brain fires this way or does this way or functions this way doesn't mean he's any less of a person. And I think at first he did feel that because you can see differences. As a kid, you look around and you're like, well, I'm not like that kid. I'm not like that kid. But when you have that good community around you that celebrates, oh man, you do archery? That's super cool.
Yeah.
Oh, you do art? Can you draw something for me? And then you start to see the kid come out of their shell and become confident in themselves. And then they start to realize, okay, so maybe it isn't horrible that I'm this way. It just is the way that I am.
God made me this way.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
It is. And it's phenomenal. And having people like, he's done it before where he's like, I really don't want to talk to you, but can I call Mr. Kyle? And I'm like, yeah, call him. Like, please call somebody. If you're going to talk to that person, then yes, those are safe people. These are good people. These are trusted people. And so he has certain people that he goes to. We have somebody at school, Miss Krista, and she's just a parent that for some reason saw him for who he was and stepped in and was like, oh my goodness, you're an amazing artist. My mom was an artist too. And so he's built that relationship with her. So he looks for her. He finds her when she comes and volunteers at our school. And he's like, look, I drew this. I drew this. And so finding that community for your family, for your kid, has been vital for us.
Yeah.
And it's hard because at first I didn't want to put myself out there because I felt like, and I don't know that this is exactly what people saw, but I felt like people just saw us struggling with a kid that's melting down in a grocery store, with a kid that's throwing a temper tantrum that, and I've been guilty of it. You're walking by and like, oh, that kid didn't get what they wanted. And that wasn't what was happening. It was, he's struggling with this environment. He's struggling with this experience. And this is what it looks like for right now. And he doesn't do that anymore. We don't have the temper tantrums because he's done all these things. He's practiced.
He has all the tools now.
Yeah, he has the tools. But just like we were talking about earlier, fifth grade, they rotate classes. So that's put in change for him. It's unexpected. We didn't know that was going to happen until the start of the year. And so when he comes home to a safe space, he is upset and frustrated. And it's not that he's upset and frustrated because of what's happening at home. It's because his mental load has changed and he's trying to figure out what to think and what to process at school and be able to work through all of that. So patience has been a huge learning curve for all of us. And it's been tested to the max for sure as a parent. And I feel kind of maybe even a little bit more so with him. Because for us, logically, we know this is a safe environment, but for him in that moment, if he's not feeling safe, he's got that fight or flight, and he is fight or flight. He is either going to run or he is going to fight his way out to get out of that environment.
Okay.
So it makes it difficult for sure. And it makes it hard because you feel judgment as a parent of like, why can't you control your kid? Why can't your kid react the way that they should? Well, this is the way he should react.
Yeah.
This is what his body needs. This is how he needs to process. This is how he needs to react in this moment. It's not pretty. It's not great. But this is how he needs to do this. So it's been hard for sure. But I feel he has come so far. I mean, he's only fifth grade. So it's not going to limit him as an adult. He may have to navigate differently than what I would have to do. But he, I think, will be set up for success because he has early intervention. We had people walk up and be like, hey, how can we help? What can we do?
It's really sweet.
It is.